Don't say anything.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
Oh, no, you can say anything you want.
Whatever. To me, it is actually like taking sandpaper to my soul. Okay?
That was one of my scenes that I actually put my phone down and watched.
Yeah, Ridley Scott did not have a fun time shooting this movie in America. Basically dies. He spiritually dies and is reawakened 3 days later. Oh. Somebody clip that, mark it, put it in the trailer.
Absolutely.
There was a scene with an octopus, but they cut it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite characters in all of cinema.
Yeah, the wife did not agree that it's a perfect movie at all.
Sure.
You think if you pick up all the bus driver's teeth, they'll give you a medal?
Yeah. Okay, it's high in calories, low in nutrition, is one way to look at it. But I love eating a box of donuts, man, you know?
Yeah.
Fellowship of the Real. One movie review podcast to rule them all.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello.
Hi everybody.
And welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books and their movies.
I'm Bree.
I'm Allie.
And today we're covering the book / movie Speak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites.
I was surprised.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was very... I don't remember if I watched it already. I did.
Well, I was like, wait.
No, yeah, I did.
Okay. Like, hold on. Should we not be doing this right now? That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Yes. Actually, I almost sort of kind of watched this one because she with Riley, but she not all of it. So she couldn't sleep. So she came to my room, but this was the day before we originally planned to record it.
Oh,
so I was like, well, I got to watch this, Riley. And so the movie's very tactfully done where technically she could have probably watched the whole thing. Yeah. I just had her close her eyes during the main part.
Yeah.
And she, yeah. She thought it was fun that it was little baby Bella.
Yeah, isn't that fun? That's the whole reason why I ever found this movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, everybody, I guess that's a picture.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it. So our trigger warnings is this is about a rape story. So just to let you know.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will say it is very well done. Mm-hmm. Because my big thing is I do not want to read or anything like rape stories. Like, mm-hmm. can't do it. So when I saw that you put one on here, I was like, what is she doing? But it's so well done that it's honestly just like the back thought of the whole story. Mm-hmm. It's not
the forefront.
Yeah. Talked about it over and over and over again.
It is how the victim deals with the aftermath of it. It's not
the actual
the act itself.
Yes. So mm-hmm. But if it's still too much, we understand.
Mm-hmm. Take care of you.
Yes. So our synopsis is a teenager is traumatized into silence after a disastrous summer party.
Mm-hmm.
Our author is Laurie Halls Anderson, director Jessica Charizard. Screenplay writer is also Jessica Charizard and Charizard.
I said it right.
Really? You make it sound like Charizard. Annie Young Frisbee.
Yeah.
Cool. Book came out October 22nd, 1999. came out January 20th, 2004. It's a 5-year difference.
Oh, she was a baby, but she wasn't that much of a baby.
I know. It's only like, what, 5 years before Twilight?
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize that.
Wow. She looked way younger.
Yeah, she did. Well, they also, if you notice, they didn't put a single drop of makeup on her.
Yeah.
So that makes her look younger.
Yes, it does. All right. And what did you do first?
I watched the movie first.
I read the book first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now that we've read the book and seen the movie, what are our thoughts?
I love it. I think it's such a good advocate for why it's important to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it because it's kind of going back to the reason I like P.S. I Love You, mm-hmm. is because it's the whole year.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it really just follows her life. There's no concrete storyline,
mm-hmm.
other than this is the aftermath of what I'm happened.
Dealing with. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was such a cool way to mm-hmm. write it.
I also feel like I need to show you the book because it was written in such a cool way. It was like paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than like full page, like, okay, but pages are written in paragraphs. How do I describe this? It was a paragraph, then a page break, a paragraph, then a page break.
Mm.
So there were spots in between. And then any verbal thing that she had with someone, I know obviously you heard the me and then what was said and then so and so. But in the book, it was actually written almost like it was a script. Where it would be me,
that's how, okay.
and then the wine, and then this person.
That's how they read it. So mm-hmm. I was wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really good. It was cool.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Okay. And why did we pick it?
I have wanted to read this book ever since I watched the movie. And oh, I watched really? This movie, yeah. When I was in middle and high school, basically, once I became obsessed with an actor
mm-hmm.
or any, like Twilight, Pirates of the Caribbean, Johnny Depp, I then went and watched their whole entire filmography that I could get.
Mm-hmm.
And Speak was one of the first ones that I did for Kristen.
Yeah.
And I just remember being so blown away by it. And I found out it was a book and I was like, holy shit. And I bought that book probably the year after I saw the movie and I never touched it. So
look at us script. Going through your TBR list. My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some super fun facts for you. Sordino, which is Melinda's last name, means muted.
That's cool.
That is cool.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. This is Kristen Stewart's first lead role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're cute. I was gonna say she's so little, but must be, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, it's also her first Sundance Film Festival selection.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Many of the actual teachers that were in that school they filmed at were extras.
That's cool.
That's fun. Like Mr. What's his name in High School Musical?
Yeah.
Or 10 Things I Hate About
High School Musical.
Basically.
I wish.
10 Things I Hate About You. It only took 1 month to film from the 1st of August to the 31st of August.
Wow. That's crazy.
So Mara Wilson said that she wanted to be the role of Melinda, but Kristen Stewart got it.
I think she would have done good too.
She would have. They both would have been good.
Yeah. I love Kristen, so.
Yes. Okay.
I
feel like she got the role of Bella. Hey, what are you doing?
Because of this movie.
Because mm-hmm. she is so much Bella in this movie.
Literally, the first line of the movie is, it's the first day of high school. And I was like, wait, did I put Twilight in?
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. But anyways, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. So, we got background on this girl. Just get a whole lot of information. She's feeling really down and she doesn't seem to have a lot of friends. It's the first day of high school and she's sitting on the bus not knowing where to sit or like because she doesn't want people to necessarily sit next to her, but she doesn't want to sit next to people. And then she gets to school and she sees her old friends and they're kind of rolling their eyes at her, making fun of her. And then she gets food thrown on her at lunch and the history teacher like has for some reason deemed her as a bad student. And just that's his mindset the whole time. It's like, mm-hmm. does not like her. And it's just a really bad first day.
It's because she's late to class.
Oh, but that
because she's pretty much late to everything.
She's officially the worst now.
Yeah. Yep. Just because of that. Mm-hmm. Yes, this happens. Except Allie hasn't said anything about Heather yet because it's coming up. But I'm going to say on the school bus, that's where we meet Heather. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, it seemed like she was excited to be talking to someone, like, oh, good, I've got someone. Whereas in the book, it was like, oh, man, someone found me to latch on to.
Yeah. I felt that too. Mm-hmm. All right. So she went home and basically communicates with her parents through like sticky notes. Like they're never really, they don't talk a whole lot. And she went up to her room and got in bed and did some home. Wait. Oh, her dad came home. Her dad came home and they like ignored each other and they just kind of are in their own worlds. And the next day was not much better than the first day, but, it's just continually like the time is fast forwarding and it's just not getting better. And she meets this girl, Heather, as Bree said. And Heather is just very, she's from out of town and she just kind of latched onto her and she's like deemed them besties. And but her old best friend, Rachel, or now she goes by Raquel, is like trying to be someone new because she's in the like the foreign language. She's speaking like French and all this sort of stuff. And she's kind of, she kind of sucks. She's like ignores her and thinks she's awful. And it's like, whatever. I don't care about what's her name, Mel, anymore. Yeah. And just whatever. And so it's all this mean girl crap. And it's because something happened in the summertime, but we haven't figured out what it is yet. And they go to Heather's house and Heather wants to join all this extracurricular activities. But Mel just wants to go home
and sleep.
Do you hear my dogs?
Yeah, yes, I do.
I'm going to go tell them shit.
Okay. Okay. Basically, the whole entire movie, we're getting flashbacks of the party that happened over the summer. But we don't get everything told to us until later on, kind of like in the book. Mm-hmm. And her and Heather don't ever really, like, we don't see them hang out outside of school. We just see that Heather has latched onto her at school in the movie.
Yep. So school life is hard and she starts freaking out because she's late to class and found out she needed like a tardy pass. And so she's trying to get one. And she ended up figuring out a way just to steal a bunch of them so that she could just write herself tardy passes all the time. And there's this pep rally going on. And of course, Heather's like, let's go. And they're sitting in the bleachers and there's some girls in front of them. It's like, aren't you the one that called the cops at the party this summer? And a bunch of pissed off people because one of the girl's brothers got arrested and fired and all these other things. And we discovered that's why she's an outcast, because she called the cops at a party. But she keeps trying to block it out and she doesn't want to think about it.
Yes. She doesn't steal tardy passes in the movie. I will say, though, I like how the movie... I knew getting flowers was going to tempt him. Exactly. Now I have to think of what I was trying to say.
Don't you dare. You can look at them from where you are. Look with your eyes, not your paws.
Not your mouth. Okay. So essentially, I really like how the movie... I don't want to say compares, but like makes a similarity between Mel and the teacher. Mm-hmm. Because the teacher is this lady who is very much in her shell and very like introverted, doesn't get out much. And as Mel starts to become more and more social and more like, okay, I'm ready to talk about things, this teacher also does that. Whereas in the book, she does not.
Right. Yep. Well, Mel is hanging out with Heather and they're chatting about theater, and Heather wants to join, and Mel's like, there's no point. We won't get a part. We're freshmen. And they always give it to the older kids. And Heather has this breakdown about how it's not fair. And Mel just went home, where she was then interrogated by her parents for failing all her classes.
Her parents do interrogate her about failing her classes, but... Oh, that was another thing I wanted to say. Her and her parents have better communication than they do in the book.
Mm-hmm. A lot better.
Yeah. The whole theater part does not happen in the movie, but the failing grades part does.
Mm-hmm. So then the book continues just telling us day by day how high school is going, and it's all the same, and it's not going great. But then she sees... We don't know who. She sees him, is what it's, they say. And he smiles at her and winks, and she feels so nauseous.
Mm-hmm. That pretty much happens.
Mm-hmm. So now it's Thanksgiving, and her mom works in retail, so it's busy season. And her dad makes this kind of like turkey soup thing, but it was really gross, so they ordered pizza. And when they got back to school, she made this weird turkey thing with a Barbie doll for a tree. Because in art class, so art class is like her only favorite class. And, or one she doesn't despise, I guess I should say. And at the beginning of the year, did they do this in the book too? And I just missed it. The beginning of the year, they had to draw names mm-hmm. or draw things out of a hat or out of something. And, oh, out of the globe.
Out of the broken globe, yeah.
Yep, the globe. Mm-hmm. And they had to, that was their thing they had to create for the whole year.
Semester.
And she drew tree. So she had to figure out how to draw or create a tree in lots of different ways. So she made this Barbie doll turkey thing for a tree-ish thing. Mm-hmm. or something.
Yep.
She did something within art.
I can't remember if in the book the teacher, like, I'm pretty sure it was exactly the same, actually. How basically was like, I see a girl who's being picked apart by her, like, a secret that she's holding on to. And I wanted to be like, okay, you're nailing it all on the head. And yes, I get that you're like, am I hitting it on the head, Melinda? And she's not going to tell you that you are. But you would think as a teacher, you would then be like, maybe we should talk.
Right. I would hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This whole part does happen.
Mm-hmm. So time went on, and it's finally winter break, and they decorated the tree at home, and it just like flooded her with memories as a kid. And then she felt like her parents would be divorced if it wasn't for her holding them together. They just have no relationship really anymore. And then she gets an art set for Christmas because they notice that she's doing drawing and into art, and her eyes filled with tears because they actually notice. So she's trying to figure out if she should tell them what happened at the party, but she has no idea how, because she had snuck out. So she doesn't want to get in trouble for that. And she doesn't want things to get awkward because they're actually kind of nice this Christmas. And finally, like, she had been sitting around enough during winter break that their parents are like, well, you're going to work with us because you need to stop being lazy. And it was horrible. And she just couldn't wait for school to start.
The only thing we see about Christmas break is when she gets the art set from her parents, and she's just so happy and very excited to have it.
Mm-hmm. So when they got back, they're learning about foul shots in PE, and she's amazing, and she could just like shoot 32 or 42 of them in a row. So coach is like, oh my gosh, you got to join our team, but you can't because you're failing. Well, we'll figure out a way around that. Let's figure it out. But she didn't want to join, and so the boys came out to practice. And they sucked. And the PE teacher's like, show them how to do it. And she did. And she's like, okay, come show up tomorrow and we'll show them how to really do it. And she's like, okay. But she did not.
Which I think is so dumb. I was like, all you had to do is do that and you would be passing that class.
I know.
That's all you had to do. This part does not happen in the movie.
So for a while, they've been studying fruits and cells in biology. And she really liked biology, and she liked math too because it had direct answers. Well, now they're doing frog dissection, and a frog was pinned down, and she had to make the cut to cut it open And she ended up passing out because she kept getting flashbacks of being pinned down. And
yeah, this happens. Mm-hmm. I will say too, because Allie hasn't mentioned a whole lot of their lunches because those aren't really important parts. But in the movie, there's a difference with it. So in the book, she tends to eat lunch away from everybody. She finds this little hidey hole and she eats her lunch there. But in the movie, she goes and eats in her art teacher's class. And he's like, yeah, of course, come eat. And then he's like, but if you're in here, you're going to have to draw.
So Heather got this modeling job and she was asking Melinda to hang up posters. No, it was, she had to hang up posters for like the, what are the
school event or whatever.
You know, but what was her group she was part of now?
The Marthas.
The Marthas. So like all these, you know, little preppy girls, she's part of it now, but like they're doing, making her do all the grunt work, basically. So like, go hang up the posters, go do all this and that. And so, so there's this guy, the guy comes up and whispers in Melinda's ear and she like drops the tape and just runs away. And
how dare there be people?
How dare the neighbors leave their house? she wrote a note at home that she was going to run away, but she just ended up sleeping in her closet. And she woke up like she used to, and she used to like use paper clips and scratch her wrists and everything like that. And then her mom did tough love and was like, knock it off, you're fine. That's so sad.
I know. It's kind of so in the movie, the very first scene is Melinda drawing black lines over her mouth to like her mouth is sewn shut. And her mom comes in and like looks at her and shakes her head and goes, wash that off your face. I'm headed to therapy. Bye.
I know. Like, take her to therapy. She needs to go too.
I was like, wow, mom. I forgot where we were. Okay, Heather and modeling job. The Heather and the modeling job does happen. They're not hanging up posters. They're just eating lunch with the Marthas when he comes up and then Melinda runs away. And there's no, like, she never outwardly shows that she's self-harming. Mm-hmm. Or thinking of it.
Okay. So it's at lunch and she hears girls talking about Andy, and Andy is the boy. And she looks up and there he is. So she, of course, quickly leaves and she decides not to go to school the next day. And she wandered around the mall, the strip mall area. And then finally it was time to go home though.
She only skips school once in the movie, and it's the one where she ends up going to the hospital, which you'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know the story going into it? Did you like look it up or did you?
I just knew it was about rape, but I didn't know anything about it.
Okay.
Nope. Why?
I wanted to ask when you put two and two together that it was a rape.
Oh, yes. But before I started
that part,
I did. So. So it's art class and it's getting wild because her teacher's super depressed now because the school board's angry at him because he gave too many A's out last year, like, or semester. Like, what?
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous? It's art class.
Right.
Like, they expect kids to fail it.
Yeah. So he even started giving up on his own art, but made Mel keep working on her tree. I can be depressed, but you can't.
Mm-hmm. And that happens.
So Heather and Mel are sitting together, and all of a sudden Heather's like, hey, it was really cool that you sat with me on the first day, but we're not friends anymore. No, she said a little different, but basically that's what she said. And then she complained about how depressed she is, and she's like, I'm over it. We're done being friends.
Yeah, except for it wasn't like they're sitting together in the movie. Heather came up to Mel and was like, hey, can we talk?
Mm-hmm. So then it's Valentine's Day, and apparently you can buy Valentine's and put on people's lockers or the walls or whatever. And Mel sees an envelope on her locker, and she doesn't know who it could be from, but she thought it might be from this boy in biology. Daniel, is that his name?
David.
Okay. And she's nervous because she actually kind of thinks he's scared. Like, she doesn't hate him. She's like, maybe she could see something going with him, but that's not the primary reason of the story, so that's background. And
So she went to biology, but she didn't say anything and he didn't say anything. So she's like, maybe not. And so after class, she went and opened it, and it's from Heather saying, thanks for being cool about this and ending the friendship. And then she returned the friendship necklace and she ran off and cried.
This does not happen.
I like the returning the friendship necklace part, because that reminded me of when we were younger and got in fights.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I remember, because me, Steph, and Katie, it was always hard because best friend bracelets and necklaces only came in two, right? Because best friends. And so our little group, we would choose who we were closest to at that part in time to give the like bracelet to. And if we were pissed, we would be like, give it back. And we would take it and give it to the other one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's all I think about when I hear about those.
So catty.
It's so bad. Right.
I know. Okay. I know that today, every day. So we have like this little break period in school, and every day I've taught. So before we left, it was 2 days, and now this is my third day. Every day, the same girls come up to me with a problem. And that's the time that we solve problems. And finally today, I was like, this is a small problem. Go figure it out. Because I was like, oh, my God.
You're like you, I, girls.
I don't want to be like, I don't want them to think that I don't care. Like, I was fine being the mediator. And it worked really well. All I had to do was sit there and they all discussed it. I literally did nothing. But I think just the fact that I was there made them feel better. But I was like, I have not done anything in these conversations. You guys do it all. Go figure it out. I was just so annoyed. What did we talk about? How did that have anything
the to best do friend it? Returning the best friend necklace.
Anyways, yeah. So that's where that was. Okay, anyways. So the next day they skipped school. She skipped school. Instead of going to the mall, she slept through that stop and she went to the next one and ended up in the hospital. She just wanders around the waiting rooms and ends up laying in the hospital bed at one point.
In the movie, she never wanders around the different waiting rooms. She just goes to a hospital bed.
So she ended up getting in trouble by the school because she kept skipping. She was in a meeting with her parents and the guidance counselor and the principal, and she still wouldn't talk. Her parents are getting really frustrated. They're partially blaming the school, like her dad is, like, hey, my daughter was happy before she came here. And, but her mom's annoyed, like, why aren't you talking? And she eventually was told she needs to do in-school suspension. And she was only one of three people in the room, and the other one Andy just ended up coming in to the school suspension and he blew in her ear. Like, he's like, it's just so annoying.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically the whole meeting with her parents and guidance counselor happened when she's getting reamed for her bad grades. Oh wait, actually I think it's because of something that's going to happen later in the book. The suffragette thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's when her parents come in with the guidance counselor and have that whole thing. She never gets in school suspension. But the time when she eats lunch in her art class, Andy does come in and try chit-chatting with her. And she just keeps ignoring her. And then Rachel comes by and calls for Andy. And that's what gets him away from her.
So she's not doing well in school again, even art. Her teacher gave her a book on Picasso and had her study it, and she loved some of the styles that he did, so that helped her get out of her funk in art.
This part does happen.
So she's now been at school for a week, and the guidance counselor told her parents that she deserves a reward, and
hell yes,
good job. And so her mom's like, we should go school, like clothes shopping. And so they went to her mom's store, though. So it wasn't a super big reward. But she's there and she's waiting at the bus stop. The art teacher comes up and is like, hey, you want a ride? And he took her to her mom's store, which is not allowed, but okay.
Yeah. Yep, it's kind of like in Bridge of Terabithia when that teacher takes him on a solo field trip.
Yep.
They left this part out of the movie, understandably so.
Yes. Okay. 2 days later, she's at school and she's tired of sitting alone in the lunchroom and everything. So she takes a nap. And to her horror, she slept for hours. I think, did she go into her little room? Okay, so I haven't mentioned this. She has like this little, it's like a janitor closet almost, or like under the stairs or something. And so that's where she does a lot of her art, or just goes and bees by herself. Yeah. And so she went and took a nap and she woke up and it's hours later and she's freaking out. Or no, she comes out and it's the end of a basketball game. So people are freaking out. And Daniel's so excited. He's like, oh my gosh, David is so excited. She's like, did you see that? And come on, there's a party at my house. You can come. And she's like, no, I don't do parties.
One thing Allie hasn't mentioned too is David. So at the start of the year, the history teacher came in and started a debate because his kid couldn't get a job. And so he was trying to blame it on the immigrants for why his kid couldn't get a job. And everyone was like, no, it just sounds like your kid's an idiot. He's like, no. So then David stands up to say something after the teacher is like, all right, well, let's move on from this topic. And he's like, no, you're just closing the debate because you're starting to lose. Like, that's dumb. You can't open it to us and then stop, especially when it's something racist like this.
Yeah.
And essentially this turns into a whole lawsuit. Like, David's parents bring in their lawyer. They set up cameras during the classes. They make sure that the teacher's being very PC. And I wish this was in the movie. This is not in the
movie.
I missed
that entire thing.
Oh, that was one of my favorite. That was when Melinda like started being like, oh, I like this David kid. Like, he just stood up for everyone. Like, that's cool. Because like, they do have his little outburst in class in the movie, but they don't have the rest of it. Whereas she was like, someone standing up to Mr. Neck, this is great.
Well, that's cool. I totally missed it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now...
Oh, and yeah, everything you just said did not happen in the movie.
So now we get flashbacks of the party. And it's at the beginning of summer. And she was there. And she had a couple beers. And she's kind of wandering around. Because she's starting to feel sick. So she went out to get some fresh air. And she found... Or a senior boy found her. And he starts dancing with her and all flirty. And they start kissing. In her head, she's like, oh my gosh, a senior's flirting with me. Oh my gosh, a senior's kissing me. And he says, do you want to? And she can't comprehend because she's had a couple drinks until she's on the ground. And she goes to scream, but he covers her mouth and he hurt her. And then he goes back in the house. And so she's freaking out. She goes in the house, calls 911 because all she can think is, I need help. And I was taught that 911 helps. And one of the... someone takes a phone and is like, oh my gosh, she called the cops. And she gets slapped and everyone starts running.
Yeah, that part does happen.
So, except that she's on, in the movie, they're in the car, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Whereas in the book, he just did it right on the ground.
Right on the ground, like at a, like,
at a party, know,
like backyard. Yeah, yeah, like what?
Yeah, so I'm glad the movie put it in a car. Not that I'm glad it happened at all, but
right, so weird.
Okay. I know, I was like, did he at least find a bush, like,
right?
How did no one else see this to stop it? Like,
right, my goodness. Okay, so Melinda saw that Rachel or Raquel or whatever she says is now is starting to hang out with Andy, and they're kind of like all over each other. And so she's mentally freaking out because she doesn't know what to do. They're not friends right now, but she doesn't want what happened to her to happen to her, like her ex-best friend. And she's like, maybe I can tell her anonymously. So she wrote down, be careful about him, and slipped it in her lock.
She does want to warn Rachel, but she doesn't do it with a note. She just talks to her like she does later on in the book.
So she's wandering around the mall, and she runs into Ivy, who is a classmate in art, and they hang out and chat for a bit. And Ivy gave her tips and tricks to help her out with her tree project.
This part does not happen.
She writes really good paper for history. It's all about women's rights and all of that. And she's really proud of it. But when she goes to turn it in, her teacher's like, well, now you have to give it orally. And she's like, that's not part of the project. But he said, sucks. Yes, it is. And so her and David come up with this plan where she stood in front of the class and didn't say anything because she's standing up for what she believes in. And he like passed out the papers for like kids to read and all this sort of stuff. And yes, of course, she got in trouble and more in-school suspension.
Everything except the in-school suspension happens. And this is where her parents and the guidance counselor meet.
Mm-hmm. So she got sick one day and was able to stay home. And then she decided to do some yard work.
This does not happen in the movie.
Nope. She was in art class after school, just relaxing a little bit. And then here comes Andy again. He asks where Rochelle is, Rachel. And she doesn't answer. And finally, Ivy, came in and Andy leaves with...
No, it is Ivy.
Rachel. It is Ivy?
Okay. Mm.
And Rachel leaves with... Andy.
That part happened during her lunch at the art class.
Ivy and Mel were in the bathroom because Mel got a stain on her shirt. And so Ivy was helping her get it out.
Ivy accidentally marked her with a marker.
Okay.
Because she... remember in the 90s when kids would put markers in their hair for their bun thing?
Oh, yeah.
She did that, but... for some reason without the lids on so that she could mark people.
Oh, okay. So in the bathroom, she saw the graffiti about everything, you know, like high school bathrooms are. So she decided to write boys to avoid Andy Evans.
This part does not happen in the movie.
I was sad it didn't happen, actually.
I know this part was, it was kind of, I feel like this part happening is kind of what gave her the courage in the book to actually talk about things.
I think so too. So Heather came and asked her to help decorate the prom, like to her house. She came to help say, hey, I need help decorating the prom. I'm so overwhelmed and I hate this year. The Marthas are awful, blah, 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 blah. Melinda stood up and said, no, I'm not going to help you. And I was so proud of her.
I know, me too. And that does happen in the movie.
Yep. She decided it was time to go tell Rachel. She finds her in the library and they sit for a little bit. They were doing little nice notes back and or talking, and the librarian told them to stop talking. So then they do notes back and forth, and it finally eventually got to the party and why she called 911. Rachel's like, we could have just left. You didn't have to call. And she wrote that she was raped and she didn't know what to do. And Rachel became really worried and asked her questions and like, who did it and all this stuff. And finally, when she said it was Andy, she flipped out and blamed her for being jealous and then left.
Yep, that happens.
So she ended up watching this tree from her front yard get pruned and cut down. And she was just like sad because she's like, it's just dying. Like they're cutting it down. And she went inside and took a nap. And she woke up and it's midnight. And she rode her bike back to the party scene and just sat there for a minute and reminisced.
That did not happen in the movie.
She went to school on Monday and there was gossip about everything because it was the prom that weekend. But the best news was that Rachel told Andy to screw off because he was getting too handsy with her.
In the movie, after Rachel and Melinda have their one-on-one talk, you see Rachel hanging out with Andy and she's just kind of sitting there like, maybe I don't know what's going on. So then she asks again, because she, after Andy went into the art class to be like, hey, have you seen Rachel? She asked, how do you know her? Why were you talking to her? And he's like, oh, it's nothing. I don't know her. I was looking for you. So then she again is like, hey, how do you know her? And like with this thought of what Melinda just told her in her mind. And she can tell that he's just trying to avoid the whole entire topic altogether. So then she's like, holy shit, Melinda was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. So it hit Mel that she didn't want to stay quiet anymore or be on her own. And Ivy brought her back to the bathroom and she saw that a bunch of other girls wrote under what she had wrote agreeing to stay away from Andy.
This does not happen in the movie.
So she was staying late in art class to clean out one day and Andy came in because I think it's the last day of school. And she's staying in her art little studio mm-hmm. area. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's her little closet.
It's a closet. Yeah. And he locks the closet and yells at her for spreading rumors that she was raped because she liked it and she didn't tell him to stop. So clearly she wasn't raped. And then he tries to real rape her. Well, the other one was real too, but in his eyes this time, real rape her, like pinned her down and everything. And this time she screamed though, and she broke things and threw things at him. But he's still stronger than her. But eventually she broke something and held this glass to his throat. And then the lacrosse team is hearing it on the outside. So they're banging on the door, and then finally they're able to get in and they ran to get help for her.
Pretty much this whole thing happens, except for they don't run to get help. They have her run away while they sit there and hold their lacrosse poles at Andy.
Good. And it's the last day of school, and she stayed late to work on her tree project for art, and it finally came together just how she wanted it. And her teacher said, "You've been through a lot, haven't you?" And she said, "Yes, let me tell you."
In the movie, so it's like she never turned in any art project. So then she goes up to him on the last day after like grades have already been submitted and everything.
I know.
And is like, "Let me show you something." And then takes him to her little art closet where she has essentially made like one of the largest trees ever. And he's like, "Oh my God, this is beautiful." And so then when he leaves and then she's taken down the art, that's when Andy comes into the closet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the audiobook, did you read this or audiobook it?
I physically read it.
Okay, I don't know. Did you have an afterword or an after whatever in the story?
No, no.
Okay, so it was actually really cool because of this man saying when he began to be sexually active, his mom took him out and had a conversation with him. And it wasn't a don't have sex. It's a women are not furniture. You don't bounce around from one to the other. You don't just use it to like sit and relax. It's like, they are people. And like this whole letter was him explaining the importance of it, because, you know, so many times women can say it's important to speak up and everything like that. But it was really nice to hear the power of a man actually saying, "Yo, guys, knock it off."
Like, it's also us. Yeah. Like, yeah. I think that's the problem. Women get the blame for it on all fronts of like, you have to be aware that this could happen to you. And then when it does happen to you, oh, it was obviously your fault for it happening to you and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Stupid. The movie ends with, because she just basically was attacked by Andy, she has to go to the hospital. So her parents are obviously called. And so then her mom's like, "Do you want to talk about it? We could talk about it." Because I'm pretty sure at the hospital, she already told her mom, like, "The guy who raped me attacked me." And so then she's like, "No, I do want to tell you all about it." So it ends with them in the car and Alinda telling her mom all about it.
We did it!
Good job!
Yay! Okay. Woo. So that brings us to casting, where we have 35 people for this film.
That it sounds like not a lot, but for this movie, it is.
I feel like it is a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have Kristen Stewart played Melinda.
Oh, she's so perfect.
She did really good for Melinda, I think. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think so. Elizabeth Perkins played Joyce, her mom.
She was good too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Allison Sicko. That sucks. Psycho? Oh, that sucks too.
Allie's like, "Let me make this better. Psycho."
I'm so sorry. She played Heather.
She was good.
She was a good, yeah, like,
she was perfect.
Yeah.
Not caring about if her friend was talking or not.
Yep. And then, oh, the mean teacher mm-hmm. played by Robert John Burke. He was Mr. Nick.
Oh, I love him. He's a bad guy in Gossip Girl, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So every time I watch this and I see him, I'm like, "Oh, yeah, it's you."
The bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Hallie Hirsch is Rachel.
She did really good.
She's good. I know her from Disney Channel original movie, The
best Christmas present ever or whatever. I had to look her up. I was like, is that the same girl? I've never seen her in anything. But she gets a snow machine. Oh my gosh.
I don't even know that movie.
The real ones know. Then we have Steve Zahn played Mr. Freeman.
This is the role that he is forever Mr. Freeman for me anytime I see him in anything else. Which is funny because I've seen him in other stuff before I saw this, but this was the role that made me go, I like him as an actor.
He will always be the daddy daycare guy for me.
Oh, yeah.
But I love him. Or now, have you seen 8-Bit Christmas?
No.
You need to watch it.
I know.
My God.
I know.
He's the dad in that, too.
Oh, fine.
Yes, so you got to watch that.
Okay.
And I think last we really need to talk about.
We need him.
We need Dave, mm-hmm. too. Okay, Michael Angarano.
Angarano.
Played Dave, one of her friends.
That was actually who she was dating before Twilight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he got upstaged for Rob.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then upstaged for a woman, right?
Yeah. So.
All right. And then Eric Lively played Andy Evans.
He did really good as a jerk.
He was a good jerk. He was mm-hmm. a scary,
mm-hmm.
yuck guy.
Yep.
Is the theme of the book and movie the same?
For sure. 100%.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I got like 4 questions. Don't bark at me.
Almost, girl.
Almost. Do the characters stay true to how they're written in the book and the movie?
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you prefer?
This is another hard one for me because I like them both too much.
They were both good, but I liked the book way better.
Yeah.
I just thought it was
What should I like more?
I just like mm-hmm. how it was written and I feel like what... Jeez Louise, Luna. While she did do voiceover in the movie, I feel like it's just not the same as in the book for internal thoughts and stuff.
I think I'm gonna go movie because I like the resolution where we see her tell everyone. In the book, it's very much like we know that she's feeling more free and it's not something that's holding her back. But in the movie, that's also kind of not great, right? Because what I'm about to say is she explains why she's been quiet this whole time. But in all honesty, she shouldn't have to explain why she's been quiet this whole time.
Right.
But I like that aspect of like seeing her actually be like, okay, this is something that I need to tell everyone.
Yeah. She finally spoke up. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Would you... Wait, where are we at?
Yep. Would you recommend it to a friend? I would, 100%. I've already done it.
I would too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Both book and movie.
Yes. Okay. And with that, we have a sneak peek for you.
We have a website. Did you all know about it?
You haven't heard it every episode, I was telling you.
Just in case you missed it, it's offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
There you are able to rate, subscribe, review, and tell us your favorite parts of the book or movie.
And guess what? We'll say that on our podcast at some point.
Literally, if you guys just send us a message, if you just give us a review, you will make it onto our podcast. It's not that hard.
It's really not.
If you have a book out there and you would love to advertise it on our podcast.
We would love for that too.
Yeah. Send us a message.
Mm-hmm.
We're not one of those podcasts that are hard to get on.
Wow, Allie just calling us easy over here.
Oh, no. You don't have to put up much of an effort.
We're free. We're open.
Yes. Oh my gosh. All right. So with that, I think Wednesday we might have a mini episode for you.
Potentially.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Then Monday we have
Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies.
Come see how that is.
Yeah. A high school classic.
High school classic for sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And with that, speak.
When off script.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.